promising you things I have not delivered. Maybe today will be different. Maybe it will be different. Don't hold your breath. Don't count on it by any means. I'll try. I'm going to try to get to Hebrews 10:25, as I've been promising slash threatening to do for, what, a week now? Yeah, almost. I don't intend this. I really don't. It just happens to me. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zunder. Hebrews 10:19. Having then, brethren, boldness for the entrance of the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a recently slain and living way. This is a strange phrase. I really couldn't make heads or tails out of it, so I went to the Concordant Commentary. I'm going to read to you from that for this passage here shortly. Recently slain and living way, which he dedicates for us. This is for the Jews, not for us. Through the curtain, that is his flesh, and a great priest over the house of God, we may be approaching with a true heart in the assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and a body bathed in clean water. I believe I told you yesterday how remarkable it was that the Hebrews have this kind of confidence, because they surely did not have it under the old covenant. Now they have it in Christ. And if the Hebrews can have this kind of confidence, by way of a once-for-all sacrifice of the ultimate high priest, how much confidence are we to have in Christ, we who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ's blood, pronounced righteous? We don't even have to have that pardon hanging over our heads. Now, here's A. Enoch's comment on the recently slain way. Verse 19. I can't even read. My glasses broke like 2 months ago, and I have yet to fix them. Is that verse 19? The print's very small in the Concordant Commentary. The recently slain way is a reference to the path into the temple. Now listen to this. On either side were the bodies of the sacrifices which had just been slain and offered to Jehovah. So it was a bloody mess, the road, the path leading to the temple proper. It, however, was a dead way, and no one but a priest dared enter upon it. Only the priests could tread where the sacrifices lay, inert, bleeding, done for, on either side of this walkway leading to the temple. The way now lies, I should emphasize the word now, let's do that. The way now lies for the Hebrews through the death and resurrection of Christ, hence is a living way. That's the major difference between the sacrifices of old and the sacrifice of Christ. His way is a living way. He's the living sacrifice who will still be bearing the scars on his body as an Aeonian testimony. I believe this. I don't really have evidence for it. I kind of do. Maybe I'll share that with you. I believe that he will, for the eons, still have his wounds as a constant reminder, the living sacrifice. We're not going to get rid of the Christ as a sacrifice. Yes, he's the glorified one, and yes, Paul saw him in blinding glory, but he also met him in subsequent visits in the desert of Arabia, where he learned the particulars of his evangel. But when Jesus Christ appeared to Israel, I don't think this is exclusive to Israel. When he came back and, of course, appeared before Thomas, who had not seen him on a previous incantation, he showed him the wounds on his wrist, the wound on his side. Thomas put his finger there and thrust his hand and believed. So the resurrected Christ, whose body it appeared as it was on the earth, still had the wounds he incurred at Calvary. Now, are we ever going to see that body? Are we only going to see Jesus Christ as a blinding light? I remind you that Jesus Christ is still a human being. For the eons, he will continue to be a human being. He's a glorified man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's not a spirit, he's not a whisper, he's not a ghost, not a spook. He's a man, a human being, that does not preclude him from appearing as a light brighter than the noonday sun. It was still the man Christ Jesus. But in his glorified aspect, I believe that he will appear to us in a glorified manner and, as he did with Paul, subsequently a man, a human being. Because I think we need to look at him and see the body. It was so like the bodies we inhabited. Love to put that in the past tense. The bodies we inhabited when we used to be on this planet. I need to start talking like that more often to myself. I wake up every morning and I say, "You're all right, kid." That's what I tell myself every morning. I got that kid from the years my son Paul played baseball. They called each other kid. You know, go get him, kid. You're all right, kid. That a boy, kid. And every morning I wake up and say, "You're okay, kid." I usually add, "The rest of the world's screwed up, but you're okay." A little facetious there, but it's true. The rest of the world is screwed up and I'm okay. But I think we're going to need to see. I think it's going to comfort us to see the body, the man that died for us. And when we look back, and oh, we're going to look back. We're going to look back. This is going to be past tense someday, our snatching away. Remarkable, isn't it? We're so used to thinking of this as a future event. Someday it's going to be past tense. And our tendency in these bodies of humiliation will be a distant memory. And yet when we gaze upon the body of Christ, it will all come back to us. Now you're saying we don't want everything to come back to us. The horror and the pain, the agony of this life will disappear, much as a mother's labor pains disappear when the child is born. When we are manifested, when our new creation body shows up, we're going to look back upon this time of humiliation as a bad dream. All these hard edges will be gone as a woman's childbirth. I'm comparing this to Israel's rebirth. I think it's analogous here to a certain extent that we too are going to undergo an amazing transformation, more radical even than that of Israel. We're a new creation. Israel is reborn. Same raw material remade. We're going to be a new creation. We too will still be human beings. We too will have bodies. We too will still be humanity, but it will be the new humanity. We will recognize each other. We'll be able to touch, to hug, to look, to listen, to see. Our senses intact will be amplified. You know, we only use a very small percentage of our brain. We're going to have the mind of Christ. Does that mind require a brain? I don't know. Does moving around in heaven require legs? I don't know. What's the body of our glorification going to look like? I don't know. Now here's a thought. Jesus Christ appeared to Paul as a light brighter than the noonday sun. Was that merely the corona? Was it the effulgence of his glory? In other words, was there a celestial body behind that glow, that effulgence, that hid the celestial body? We're assuming that it was only a globe of light. Or, take the E away, a glob of light. But I am thinking that as the corona of the sun keeps us from seeing the sun, I believe the glory emanating from Christ's glorified body kept Saul from seeing that glorified body. And I'll say to you that I don't believe anyone has actually seen the glorified body of Christ, only the corona or the effulgence that suggested it. And I think the only person to ever see that was the Apostle Paul. Now, when Jesus Christ appeared to him in Galatia, not in Galatia, but in the Arabian desert, what kind of body was it? I think it was the kind of body that could sit down on a sawed-off log in a campfire and eat fish, much as the body that our Lord took when he visited the disciples subsequent to his resurrection. So I think the Apostle Paul sat down with the resurrected Christ in the form of a body. Because if you notice, on the road to Damascus, there was not too much of a conversation. Well, there was. Christ asked Paul a question. Actually, a statement. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Paul said, "Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Rise, go on your way, go to Damascus. I'm going to show you the things you're about to suffer." So there was a conversation, but it was much like a voice. It was a voice. And the light was indistinct. But I like to think, I mean, this is just conjecture on my part, I like to think that we will see the crucified body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we will see him as he was on earth and as he is. Why would we limit ourselves? Well, let's put it this way. Why would God limit us? People ask me, "Well, Martin, the new earth sounds pretty good. Sounds really tasty. Are you telling me that since I'm in heaven, I'm not going to be able to visit the new earth? It sounds luscious. I want to go there. Sounds lush and luscious. Well, I want to come back to this earth during the millennium to see places where I suffered and died on this planet. I'm not going to die, though. I'm going to be snatched away. Where I suffered on this planet. I want to see the places of my humiliation." Clyde Pilkington forwards an interesting perspective here. He asks the question, are there going to be museums here on Earth during the 1,000 years? Because you know this Earth is going to continue on in the 1,000 years. It's going to be renewed. The curse is going to be removed. It's not going to be destroyed until the end of the 1,000 years. We know that God was keen on memorials. There were stones raised to various things where Jacob wrestled with the angel, and other significant events were memorialized with a stone. Is it possible that important places on this earth pertaining to members of the body of Christ will also be memorialized? This is where A. Enoch was born. This is where the Concordant Version was translated. This is where Dr. Bullinger labored. This is where A.P. Adams' study was. This is where Clyde Pilkington was born. Clyde Pilkington, who is now, by the way, ruler of the universe, Sector 23 through 29. I say yes. So I plan on coming back to the millennial Earth to check out some old haunts. So if that's the case, why wouldn't we see the body of Jesus Christ? Because we, for many a long year, inhabited a body like unto his. And as happened to his body, ours will also be glorified. We will fellowship together with the glorified Christ in whatever bodies God gives us, with him and with each other for the eons.